Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, chapter 5, the great book of 1 Timothy. Timothy being a pastoral letter from Paul to Timothy. Timothy's a young lad, about 21 at this time. And Paul is teaching him how to manage the church, to teach discipline. And in this fifth chapter that we're going in today, it tells you as a church leader how to treat different classes of people. And by classes, I mean the elderly, the young, widowed, and so forth. And still to have peace in the church and to be able to operate with discipline. So, and I might say this is advice from Paul, and no doubt approved of by our Heavenly Father, no doubt, not just an opinion. So, having said that, a word of wisdom from our Father, chapter 5, verse 1, and it reads, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren." Again, picture Timothy, he's only 21. What Paul is saying, you know, respect of your elders has always been, in until it would seem of late perhaps, a very important thing. In other words, he's telling Timothy, if you're going to correct an elder, don't do it publicly. Pull him off to the side, be gentle, and handle it that way. Don't do it harshly, and do it with respect. But do it, okay? Verse 2, "The elder woman as mothers," that's how you treat them, "the younger as sisters, with all purity." This is church members in serving the church and so forth. 3, "Honor widows that are widows indeed." Now, what is a widow indeed? And it's important that you know that. A widow indeed is a widow that has not only lost her husband, but has no family. In other words, there's no one else to take care of her. There's no nephews, nieces, children. She's all alone. I mean, all she has is the church. Okay, that's a widow indeed. You honor them. Verse 4, "But if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety," that's to say kindness at home, "and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." God, in other words, you return the recompense. In other words, how many times does a mother or a father tend to a child, get them out of trouble, tend to them, their education, and so on and so forth? Well, when they get a little age on them, it's time for a little payback. Now, I always come to this place where I have to add, there, unfortunately, in this end times, we have diseases such as Alzheimer's and things of this nature, where somebody really needs 24 hours a day care, or it can be dangerous for them. And sometimes you have to have a home or place them in a home that is equipped for 24 hour a day care. Don't ever feel guilty for having done that. That is true love, of seeing that someone has that 24 hour a day care. That's important. Otherwise, I know in experience in life that people that have tried to take care of an elderly person with that particular or not or of the same kind disease, they can be out wandering around and very difficult to find. That's not really fair. That's not taking good care of them. 24-hour-a-day care where they are trained to assist and help with kindness and love, that's good. But otherwise, returning the recompense is good, all right? You owe it. Verse 5, "Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day." For what? For the church, for the other people. And naturally, within that demands earns the respect of the many-membered body. Verse 6, "But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth." In other words, self-indulgence, not caring about family, not caring about church, not caring about God, just out in the world, living it up. They're dead. Okay. Dead as far as eternal life is concerned. So, therefore, you might say, well, what do you do with the person? Well, that's what we're here for, is to help a person like that, is to plant a seed, to let them see what they're doing. They're going to turn around. Don't worry. Satan will grab a hold of them and twist them up and make them, turn them every way but loose, and then they're going to reach out and say, help, a little knowledge and wisdom here. But that's what God's church is about, is helping the lost and caring for the lost in the sense that you plant seeds. You cannot make that seed grow. It is not your responsibility to make the seed grow. That's God's business. You see, you can plant a grain of wheat. Anybody can do that and put it in the soil and let moisture come on it, and it's going to germinate. That little embryo is going to germinate into a beautiful plant. But you can't do it. God created it, and God does it. And so it is with planting seeds in somebody that's gone astray. This doesn't only apply to women. This is men, too, that live in this manner. That seed may take and it may grow and it changes that person. That's what we're about, in a sense. That's the fallout. That is the goodness of the gospel itself, the good news. Probably sometime in your life, but thanks be to God, there go I. Okay. In other words, maybe you're not as perfect as you might think sometimes, and there was a place when you were out of step. Then thank God that you're back in step, and that you're pleasing God, and that is pleasing to Him, is to plant those seeds and be there for Him where God can use you when the opportunity prevails. Verse 7. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. In other words, when they do convert and so forth, that is to say, we're back with the widow, in a sense. The widows come back in, the widows indeed, whereby they can find rest. That's to say, peace of mind. Peace of mind in Almighty God, in enabling someone to receive the Word of God. It is a gallant, gallant work to help one that has lost their mate, and to help them find their way again in the Word of God. Verse 8, but if any provide not for his own relatives, his own family, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Now, you know, this is a young man can get a woman pregnant and she can have a child. He's not a father. A father takes care of his family. A father provides for his family. He provides his children an education, clothing, home, the truth from God's Word. Gives them a direction as best he can, and otherwise he's worse than an infidel. If you don't take care of your own, you know, it is rare in ranching to ever find a mother cow that will deny her own. It does happen, but it is so rare they will fight to their death for them. And why is it that families cannot understand the responsibility of when you bring a life into this world? How, what a gift from God that God gives a couple. And if you do not take care of your own, you're worse than an infidel. That's God's word. Now, I'll tell you what, that's pretty bad. If many might say, wonder why God never blesses me. Well, you might take count. Verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man. Three score is what? Well, that's 60 years old. In other words, there were people that dedicated themselves to the Lord's house, that is to say, serving in the church for a lifetime. And if a person is under 60, then and is a widow, they may meet someone else. Excuse me, they may want to start a whole new life. What he's saying is it is advisable to advise a widow indeed, rather than when the church provides rest, that is to say, comfort from the Word of God, giving direction, comfort, and peace of mind, that until they are 60 years old, I've even known some people after 60 that found some good mates. And so, be that as it may, and in this day, but the point is one that swears their soul to aiding the church for life. Okay. Most ministers that minister God's word, you don't take it lightly. There is no retirement. When you take the oath, you take it for life. And so it is here. And it is a very serious thing when you anoint someone in that respect. So this is just advice of nature is nature, and God created us the way we are, and there's no need to further explain it. That's why they do it. You treat them as family, but advise them not to promise things that possibly they cannot keep. Verse 10, rather. Well reported of for good works, if she have brought up children, if she hath lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted, if she hath diligently followed every good work. Certainly, God appreciates somebody that does help in the church and in the family, the many-membered family. 11. But the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton, when passions arise and so forth, again they want them against Christ, they will marry. That means that's not talking about some sin. That is nature. If you're under 60 and you're still active, then certainly sexually that you are going to have that. Paul would say in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the advice concerning marriage. He said, I would rather that all of you that follow me, that teach in the many-membered body, that you would not marry. Why? They at that time, they had to travel so far and everything. They were never home. But he said, rather than it is better to marry than to burn. He did not mean burn in hell. He meant burn with passion. If you burn with passion, then get married. Okay, that's natural. There needs no further explanation. That's just the way it is. But when physically speaking, they want them means to grow restless in that physical sense. Verse 12, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. In other words, if they make too many promises to the church and then turn their back on it, it's not real good. Okay, so. And bear in mind that all this is doing is giving advice, that you give advice that helps people not make promises that perhaps they cannot keep, and maybe even should not keep. So it brings maturity into the body of common sense and following the nature in which is what the way that God created us. And so it is. Verse 13. And withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. In other words, when people are too dissatisfied, have too much time on their hands, they kind of gossip, and they are tattlers and so forth, and speaking things which they ought not. Why? Because they're idle. Idleness is a bad thing. You need something to do. You need to keep busy. You need to keep busy in the Lord, if nothing else. But how precious it is. Verse 14. I will, therefore, that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. That is to say, don't give Satan a chance to work into your home, into your family, and to guide, direct, and so it is. This is not a law. I want you to know that. There are people that can dedicate themselves and hold true to that. And no problem there. All this is in general advice because of that is natural. Period. Okay. If you have many years in life and you have a good judgment, you know that these things we're talking about are simply common sense. There's no great deep mystery about them. It is common sense, and it is the way of a flesh man. And within that flesh man dwells the spiritual man. And the spiritual man overrides naturally, but occasionally, with restlessness, that old flesh body can sure pop right back into the picture. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the advice is, go the way you will and do not let Satan ever use that is natural to gain on you. All right? Period. Verse 15. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Some of them have already taken the wrong turn. This is why that a church should have discipline. And discipline means to teach this word as it is written. You don't skip over. Maybe like some might say, well, this gets a little deep into personal things. Maybe I'd rather not talk about that. Then you would err greatly. We have to be, that is simply a point of honesty. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with each other. And certainly through the Word of God, giving good advice. And remember, Timothy, he's only 21. And here he is, a church leader. But bless his dear mother's, Eunice's heart, and Lois's grandmother. They've taught this lad well. He's able. You see, age doesn't have anything to do with gifts from God where the knowledge has been acquired. And this boy has studied from 13 and probably even younger because of Eunice and Lois. And he's got it down pretty pat. And Paul is letting him know that. But he's giving him this mature advice as far as discipline should be held in the church so that you don't leave a crack there that Satan can come in. He loves to destroy churches. He loves to cause trouble in churches. And as a leader, you must keep that door closed and keep the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, present at all times and Satan on the run. You do that by teaching what the Word says, common sense, and certainly with these classes of people, the elder, the younger, the married, the unmarried, whereby we all get along. And so it is. Let's go with the next verse, please. Verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that are widows indeed. In other words, that you take care of family. Again, I know I receive a lot of letters saying I have tried to take care of my mother. She has Alzheimer's, and I can't manage that 24 hours a day. Of course you can't. Nobody can be awake 24 hours a day tending someone. So when we do utilize facilities that are good, you always check them out. And there's no sin in that. So I don't want anyone to get on guilt trips. But at the same time, if it be possible, if they're healthy, whereby you can manage and take care of business, then certainly you owe a recompense because they took you from the crib from the womb, actually, took you to adulthood, and probably bumped you along quite a few years in between. You know, that's true love. That's family. And so naturally, they're old, just push them away. Oh, well, no, God wouldn't approve of that. When you do that, you're akin to that one back in verse 6. But most of all, you match that one that is in verse 8. You're worse than an infidel. God doesn't approve of that at all. God expects family to be family. Verse 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. What doctrine is that? The doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, I always say it is the word that should be honored. Those that carry it, we all fall short. There's nobody perfect, but the word is always perfect. And the word in eldership, that is to say maturity, knowledge that God gives. And God's gifts are given without repentance. You're stuck with it. And that's a good load to bear. Then the word itself receives double honor because it produces. It works. It brings people from the lost and disillusioned into truth, knowledge, wisdom, and happiness. It brings rest. The word of God is so precious that when it is delivered, naturally that respect and a good report for the word of God is always a good profession. It certainly is. Verse 18. For the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox nor that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. In other words, when he uses this to in an sense of agriculture, whether it be the threshing floor where the ox is treading out the grain from the sheath, if he wants a bite, hey, he earns it. And so it is with passing the word, and what he's talking about are the family that takes care of that widow, the family that takes care of their own. He that or she that arranges that, they deserve what they get, that honor, that trueness, that it's well earned. That's what he's saying here. Naturally, he's quoting from Deuteronomy 25:4. You're not far there from when we covered kinsman redeemer in the great book of Ruth, and certainly having to do with family as well. Verse 19. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Don't ever let just one person claim something. You need witnesses. You can judge maturity by somebody that judges. If somebody judges a situation when they've only heard one side, they're not wise. Because the other side is going to be heard. The real truth is going to come out, hopefully. And then, after you have heard both sides, then you can decide. Not God is the judge, but it is then up to you to discern what actually went down on two witnesses. And two witnesses today can be many things. It can be the blood itself speaks and cries from the ground, as it did when Abel's cried to Almighty God through DNA and other things today. But many witnesses can come forth, but be cautious. What he's saying is, a wise person, man or woman, never comes to a conclusion without hearing both sides. As a counselor, that's one of the first things you learn. Or you're going to end up so embarrassed over and over that you'll lose your profession if you set yourself out as a counselor and you start making judgments by hearing only one side. It doesn't work that way. You got to have two witnesses, and you have to know both sides. Therefore, then you can give advice or discernment from Almighty God and be kind of in the ballpark, all right? Always have those witnesses. Now let's go with the next verse. Verse 20 we read, "Them that sin rebuke before all, that others may all that also may fear." In other words, when there is you rebuke with explanation. But then again, how are you going to rebuke? You're going to hear both sides. You're going to determine if the sin actually transpired. And I personally would rather pull somebody to the side and give them a little warning. If that doesn't take, then publicly. Verse 21. "I charge thee before God," Paul talking to Timothy, "and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality." Again, there's one of the best pieces of advice that a person of responsibility could ever have. If you ever begin playing favorites, you're going down a primrose lane, you're going to end up in deep trouble. Because it will cause more trouble in your group if you show partiality. That is so very, very, very unfair. Christ is not a respecter of persons at all. And he is very unhappy with somebody that is a respecter of persons. It is common that you have friendships that are closer with some people than others. That is not a sin. But to give credit or to be easier in judgment or teaching or anything else because of that is wrong. You have to teach and treat everybody exactly the same when it comes to discipline, when it comes to leadership. There can be no partiality. Why? It's God's word, and God's word is no respecter of persons. God has many children. He loves all of them. He may not love what they're doing, but he loves all of them. And if he feels that someone is able to be a trusted leader, and he sends them even as an election, let's say, into this earth age, and is counting on them to be a good leader, a good teacher of his word, a conveyor of his word, just a conduit to see that people have the truth. And when you let him down, it really, really disappoints him. You know, you can always get a good example of this with old Job. Oh, how God loved that man. How God trusted that man. He knew. God knew that Job would never submit to Satan. That he would hold, God could take away all of his protection except his life. And Job would still hold that line. And Job did. And of course he received double rewards for it. So partiality, it won't fly, my friend. It is real easy to fall into that trap if you're not careful. And when you do something for one, you do it for everyone. Somebody might say, well, Pastor Murray never takes any phone calls. Do you know how many people study with this chapel? It's millions. And what I do, if I take a phone call from one, I have to spend all of my time answering telephones or talking to people. So I have to make a choice. Either teach God's word or answer telephones. I prefer to do it in a way that we have a platform that goes around the world whereby we can teach God's word without partiality, without holding back any part of God's word whereby it falls on every ear equally. I really believe in all of my heart that that is so very, very important. Verse 22, to continue. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Don't you let somebody come to you and say, I want to be ordained. I need it right away. And you don't know their character. So don't be hasty to lay hands on a stranger to be a preacher. Does that sound advice? You have to know. You know, spiritual discernment is a fantastic thing, but what does it mean here, be a partaker of other men's sins? Well, if you ordain somebody and they go out and mislead a bunch of people, who do you think is going to answer for most of it? You are. Because you ordain someone and turn them loose with credentials that they can't fulfill. Because you made a mistake. You made a bad judgment even when you have the warning. Never, never, suddenly, some new person that you don't know anything about that wishes to work in the church, that is to say, as a pastor, teacher, preacher, evangelist, it's a very serious, serious thing. It's a lifetime, 23. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. It's a medicine. Now, it said, you know, if you have a nervous stomach, your business is too business, don't be popping a bunch of, well, I should not say don't be popping a bunch of pills. Doctors know what to give you, when to give you, and so forth. But God says, you know, a little. That's not a gallon. It's not a quart. It's a little bit. Calm you down. Maybe you can get to sleep. Verse 24, I'm going to finish this chapter. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, they follow after. In other words, there are some things that you may not learn until later, sins about a person. But there are some people that have such a rugged reputation that their sins get out there in front of them. 25 to finish. Likewise also, the good works of some are manifest beforehand. You can see it. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. In other words, it can't be hid forever. That work is going to come through. You can appreciate good work and you intuitively as a Christian know it and see it and recognize it. You know that that person's reputation is good, they're well-meaning, and they're a servant of the living God, not of self. All right, that kind of gives you some personal advice concerning the church and the different classes of people. And by classes, I mean elder, younger, widowed, and so forth. It's precious. It's a good word. It's natural. All right, don't miss the next lecture. You listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, Behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of the Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, and all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about some reverend, some denomination, or organization. We don't judge people. You don't need to. God's the judge. But you should discern who you listen to and who you don't. And What a lecture today in that fifth chapter of 1 Timothy. Paul was laying it right on the line to Timothy, that youth in his ministry. Those of you that listen to by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Again, always good to hear from you. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need that address. You don't need a phone number. You don't need anything. God knows what you're thinking and how precious it is that He leads you, guides, and directs. He loves you. He may not love what you're doing, but He does love you. What does He want in return? Your love. He truly does. Let Him know, okay? Serve Him and be blessed. Father, around the globe we come, we ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, question time. We're going to go with Nikki from Massachusetts. My husband passed away last year, and he had a do not resuscitate, and I told the doctors to take the tubes off. Does that mean that I have sinned and let him die? Thank you for your teaching. You are so very welcome. Not at all. It was his request, and if God had wanted him to live, they could have taken the tubes off. They could have done anything. He would have lived. Okay, that was his wish. And you, as a good wife, fulfilled that wish. And God bless you. Don't you rest easy. God loves you. So does he from where he is. George from Arkansas. Is a Hebrew calendar the same as a solar calendar? God bless you and your staff. Well, thank you. We appreciate that. No, it is not. The Hebrew calendar goes by moons, and the solar calendar goes by the sun, of course. The sun is accurate. I mean, it's precise. This is why we always count the new year to begin at the spring equinox. 15 days later, Passover. 50 days after that, Pentecost. And so it goes. You see, the actual original Hebrew calendar was solar, but it has been dropped. You see, there were seven sets of 50 in the year, plus the 14 days before Passover, makes 365 days a year. Exactly. No leap years, nothing in between. Solar, right to the point. In other words, it was all a set of 50s. Diane from Oregon, thank you. You're so welcome. My question is, how do I forgive family members for abuse, sexual, physical, emotional, that happened when they aren't sorry? Well, you know, the thing is I don't want it to build up in you. You're a precious daughter of the living God. And you cannot hang on to that. You are a survivor. And I'm not saying it was okay. It's terrible. But I don't want you to be burdened with it. You see, it's probably not hurting them at all, but you're still suffering with it. I want you to forgive in the sense that you're through with it and you move on into the beautiful Christian life that God has before you. I don't want you to worry. Worry will not add one second onto your life. And you don't have to worry about them repenting. You don't have to worry about them seeking forgiveness. They got to face God. God's going to take it up with them. You don't have to. So what I'm saying is I want you to pick up, move on, and God has a purpose for you. Okay, Donna from California, and thank you. We were going to have a good Thanksgiving. Can an ethnic person be one of the very elect or the very elect over of only of Israel? No, this is why that God has the election. There are only 7,000 of Israel, but the others are kings and queens of the ethnos. That means of their own people. They are elect of their own people. You see, what a lot of people don't understand is there are some ethnic people that wouldn't listen to me because I'm a Caucasian. Now, I know that's not right, but that's the way people are. Okay. So therefore, naturally, someone of that ethnicity picks up the word, maybe from my teaching, from the Word of God, whatever, and then teaches his own. They'll listen to him or her. Okay, that's the way God made us. God created all of the races on the sixth day. He looked and it was good. He's proud of every race. So am I. Susan from Kentucky. My question is, can a person baptize another after they have repented and found God if they are not a clergy? Any Christian can baptize another Christian. Now, let me say, coming out the gate, Christ will accept that. There are some churches that won't. Okay. So you have to kind of understand that. But God, what is important? The church, some churches accepting it, or God accepting it? Naturally, God accepts it. Go with it, if that's what is. There are many people that live so far out in the country, rural, or a city, that are not a member of a local congregation. And many churches would not baptize you in the first place, unless you are a signed donor and so forth to that church. So, but anyway, I'll leave it there. I'm not judging anyone or anything, but every Christian has the right to baptize another Christian. Deborah from Georgia. Where in Revelation does it say that one day with God is as 1,000 years? Well, it's not in that particular statement is not in the book of Revelation. It is in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 6 or 7. And it says, I would not have you ignorant of this fact that one day with the Lord is 1,000 years. That's the Lord's day. 1,000 years is the millennium. And that Lord's day is coming. We're just about to open the door to it, I feel. We're very close. And but that's where you will find it. Now, the 1,000-year period is also mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. But not the statement that, not the full sentence you just quoted. Pam from Kentucky. Pam from Kentucky. I know what number 7 means, but what does number 40 mean in God's Word? It means probation. This is why they were 40 years in the wilderness. Probation. God put you on probation. If you come out of there, hey, all right. Jesus in the wilderness, 40 days, 40 nights. And so it is. Flood of Noah, rain, 40 days, 40 nights. Probation. God puts his people on probation. Sean from California. Pastor, should the whole Bible be like your owner's manual? I feel like Psalms 23 is my owner's manual. Well, it's a good start. It is. Psalms 23 is the song of resurrection. Psalms 22 is crucifixion and burial. 23 is resurrection into eternal life. The Good Shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, the Psalms 23 would say. And when he is your shepherd, you will never want for anything. There'll be hard times. But when you're a true servant of his, you say, bring it on. He's going to bless me. I'm under his wing. He will show me a way. And we're going through. Francis from Illinois. Pastor, is there going to be a nuclear war? Is man going to destroy America? Absolutely not. Why? Well, we Christians are not going to allow it. Period. Why will there will be no nuclear holocaust? Why? God is going to make his kingdom and establish it on this earth. He is not going to let it be destroyed. It is his favorite place in the universe. It's real easy to document that. You can document it by going to Ezekiel chapter 16, where he makes an eternal covenant. I said a covenant. That's a marriage to that city, Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, it tells you he said, you had an unclean birth, and a lot of people think he's talking about a baby being born. He's talking about a city being born, his favorite place. And he said, you had an unclean birth, and you weren't even swaddled. That's because the Jebusites formed Jebus. That was the original name for Jerusalem. And you had an unclean birth, but then when you grew to maturity, meaning when you turned into a adult woman, I placed my skirt over you. I took you to wife. And meaning God made that covenant. And he, as it is written in the great book of Revelation in chapter 21, he's going to establish his everlasting kingdom right on Mount Zion, right here in the good old earth as we know it today. But he's not going to let it be destroyed. Men like to play with toys. And evil people like to play with toys sometimes, explosive ones. But God will see to it that there is no nuclear annihilation of this globe. Why? It's his home eternally. Dola from North Carolina, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Dola, will you go to heaven if you are taking care of your mother and you can't make it to church every Sunday? You're taking care of your mother as God, as pleases God. Oh, how it makes him happy that you take care of her. You see, she birthed you. She brought you into the world. She diapered you and she brought you up and she loved you, nursed you, and put you through wherever you are. And here she needs you now, and you're fulfilling that as a daughter should. Do you think God isn't happy about that? The doors of heaven swing open so wide for you, my dear. You keep up the good work. You're doing good. When you listen to us, you're in church anyway. Shepherd's Chapel is a church. And when you listen to this television program, it is only an extension arm of that church. There's only one thing a church should do, and that's teach God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. That's what you get here. Bob from Georgia. Bob, I have one scripture for you. When it seems like things have kind of ganged up on you, always remember 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God's going to show you a way through, all right? You'll do fine as it is. Val from Pennsylvania. Question. When Satan comes down and says he's Jesus, and I have not changed and still am in this body, being a flesh body, then I know he's the false one, right? That is absolutely right. Because when the true Christ returns at that seventh trump in the twinkle of an eye, the Greek is real specific in 1 Corinthians 15:52. The farthest trump out. They don't come anymore after that. It's the seventh. There's only seven. It's the seventh. Instantly, that's when Christ returns. Antichrist comes at the sixth one. His reign is already over because Christ ends it at that seventh. Then we're changed into a spiritual body and not until. I've learned so much from you about the Bible. Well, great. That's why we teach chapter by chapter and verse by verse, because it is the Bible that we're supposed to be studying. A lot of people wonder why churches kind of begin to die off and why people don't attend. And if you have a church where they round people in and then beat them over the head, we got to raise money for this and raise money for that, God doesn't send out beggars. Instead of teaching God's word, and this is just a little word of advice, if you feed them, they will come. You won't be able to handle them. I will say it again. If you feed them the word of God, you don't pull any punches, you do it with discipline and straight on, they will come. You will not be able to handle it. It explodes. And so it is. So feed the flock and be blessed. And it is amazing how that simple teaching of God's word gives people hope and clarity. Once someone hears the truth, They have eyes to see and ears to hear. Nobody on earth is going to pull them back into the traditions of man, away from the real Word of God. Why? Because it is God's will and it is God's Word. Janice from Mississippi. Where can I find in the Bible that there were other races to survive the flood? Well, number one, you would find in Genesis chapter 6, who did God tell Adam to, I'm sorry, who did God tell Noah to take on the ark? He said, two of every flesh. Well, the races were created on the sixth day. They were here. And as you would read in the third verse of Genesis chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, it grieved God that he had made man flesh also. We were in angelic bodies, and he decided in this earth age, make them flesh. Kind of like animals. Okay. It grieves him because of what happened. The fallen angels came and crossed over with there were hybrids, Geber, giants. And God had to destroy the known area at that time to get rid of the hybrids. Because he intended that man be born innocent of woman to make his or her mind up whether you love Satan or God. But then when these fallen angels came, they short-circuited it. They had the knowledge and the wisdom to know what happened before in detail. And it was corrupting people. So this is why Enoch was preaching against this to the high heavens. And that's why that God in the great book of Genesis called Enoch home. He was quite a preacher. You can find that documented in the book of Jude. But anyway, one way you can tell, let's take the Kenite himself, sons of Cain. How did they make it through the flood? Exactly like I said, two of every flesh. Documentation, they made it. You'll find it in 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. For the Kenite was already the scribes for the tribe of Judah, keeping books for them. Can you imagine that? You know when people keep books and records for you, they can kind of change things and jot things around? Well, sure, a Kenite wouldn't do that, would they? Don't hold your breath. They do it even, you have to, a real scholar of God's Word must be very careful of who changes what, because they certainly will change. Joanne from Tennessee, where can I find the different names for Satan in the book of Revelation? Well, there's two places. You can find the multi names of Satan in Revelation chapter 12, beginning with verse 6, where he is cast out. And then, you know, that old devil, which is the dragon, which is Satan. And then the rest of the verses in that chapter 12 use the particular name of Satan over for that period of time when he's doing that particular act. Then in Revelation chapter 20, the millennium chapter, you will have his names given again, the Satan, the old dragon, Lucifer, the devil, the serpent. He was the serpent in the garden. It means a glistening one. That's what the word means in the manuscripts. And certainly he was a glistener. He overcame and seduced, and so it was. That's where you'll find him. Erwin from Arkansas. I have two teenagers, and I need to know if it is my place to have them baptized, or is it for them to desire it first. I don't push them, and they are not against it. They have to make their own mind up. A parent cannot tell a child, you need to be baptized. It is true that a parent can say a Christian should be baptized for what reason? Because Christ was baptized. And it is making a statement that you believe Christ, Jesus Christ, went into the tomb, but that he resurrected. Now, but you see, if you order a child to be baptized, later in life, they're going to say, I wasn't the one that made that decision. I got to do it all over again. And it wouldn't do any good if you ordered it anyway. And I know you said you're not going to, and that's good. But baptism is a very personal thing. You can christen a child when they're born with the oil of our people, dedicating them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We do this all the time. But baptism is a personal thing when a person becomes of the age of accountability. Well, what is the age of accountability? For sometimes it's 6 and for others it's 60. Okay? And it's according to the person as they come to accountability. All right? But let them make their own mind up, and it must be their decision, and they must know why. Stan from Arizona, is there somewhere in the Bible that Jesus prayed to God for us? There sure is. It's the Lord's Prayer, the true one, not the one that he told us how to pray, but the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, when he said, Father, it's over, it's finished, and he prayed for us. I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Most of all, God loves you for it. Know what? It makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to bless you. You can count on it. Why? Because he loves you. You're his child. We're brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always, I do mean always, bless you. Most important, though, you know what? You listen to me and you listen good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd.